One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Who wants a bunk bed, Belle? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Belle.
Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Belle.
Current home supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Belle and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file story to us. Just to go to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Social media all over that place, too. Facebook at Real Ghost Stories Online, Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat as well. All 14-second snippets that I can do. This is at Ghost Podcast if you want to find us there. So lots of places to do such things. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello, and how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You've been researching the area that no longer exists.
I kind of got on a kick about it. Yeah. And I'm not even real sure where I learned about this
a dream
ghost town that exists within walking distance.
It
to our
came
house.
To you in a dream. The other night you woke up in the middle of the night and you're like, must find the ghost school. Ghost school. Ghost school over the creek.
No.
Over the path. It's over there. It's. And then you just lay back down.
No. That's not at all how that went.
And I said, that's special. And I just went back to sleep.
No, just something I guess I read somewhere. And so yeah. I started looking into this little ghost town that's got a whole two buildings left. Mm-hmm. One's a stone post office, and then the other one is a schoolhouse. And I'm excited because there's a new state park that's being cordoned off as we speak. That's, mm-hmm. you know,
close.
Yeah, very close. And we can actually walk there. And these buildings are going to be, at least one of them is going to be within the state parks, actually get to go see it.
That'll be exciting.
Without trespassing and getting shot at.
That is something you have to be concerned with around here as far as trespassing, getting shot at.
Yeah. Yeah. Because yeah. they either assume you're a deer or somebody bad. So
yeah.
can't just be the dork with a camera that wants to go see a creepy old building like
so,
me.
So dressing like a deer would still not be good because they would think, probably shoot at that too.
Yeah.
Can't win that battle.
No.
Was there any animals they wouldn't shoot at? That's the animal suit we need to get.
No. If it's on four legs, it's fair game.
Yeah, that's true. There's like nothing that'd be like, no, can't. What if we dressed as bald eagles?
I don't know.
Really giant bald eagles?
I will say.
They wouldn't shoot at that.
No, they wouldn't, but I did just see an article where one of those little things that they put on the legs of the birds just to keep track.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they found one of those without the bird.
Oh, God.
So.
That's not good.
No. I mean.
Well, I mean, it could have been an animal, too. It could have been nature. Just
could have been, yeah. But that's always, you know, when somebody finds that, that's kind of on their radar because they want to make sure nobody's, you know, hunting.
Poaching bald eagles.
Right, right.
Is that even a thing? I mean,
you'd have to be a complete idiot to do it. I mean, what are you going to do with this dead bald eagle? Are you going to, you know, no taxidermist is going to deal with that.
What happens if you find one dead? I mean, animals die. What if you're like just out on the path and you just, you know, like you find, you know, I've seen, you know, name that bird, you know, you found it dead.
Right.
But it's very obscure to find even a living bald eagle, more or less a dead one. What if you were walking down the path and you found a dead one? Can you take it then and get it taxidermed?
Because, no.
Well, I'm just wondering, because if it's, then nature's just going to eat it. I mean, I've seen like stuffed bald eagles, like, I don't know where other than like Capitol buildings, but can that be done? Is that like the proper way of, if you're going to get a taxidermed bald eagle, it has to just be found in nature? I know you can't hunt them and you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if you just happen to find one that just died of whatever, the animal dies.
I'm going
to
err on the side of don't mess with it just because it is a federally protected animal. So it's not worth the risk.
Yeah. Something like, what did you do to it? Nothing. It was like literally sitting in my driveway.
And they're not going to, the taxidermist is not going to do a bird autopsy to see if it had a little bird heart attack.
I wonder if they would have to do that on something like that.
I don't know. You'd probably get turned in and on a list.
That's true. You probably would. You'd, no matter what, no matter how innocent it is.
You're going to be on a list.
Yep.
You just go the other way. Just suddenly leave the bald eagle alone. Don't hit it with a golf cart.
Sorry, sir. You can't fly. Why? Because you found a dead eagle on a golf course. No, it was dead. No, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Can't fly anymore.
Like, that eagle took your wings.
That's exactly. And then you can have Bette Midler sing a song about it.
Oh, God.
The day the eagle took my wings. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Quit.
Oh, oh, oh. You want to join? Let me make you do
no,
it.
No, I'm
Let's
not.
Let's go to a ghost story. Hi, you're on the program.
Hi, my name is Brooke, and I wanted to tell a story. I have many, but I'm going to keep this one short. It's probably one of the scariest ones that I can't really figure out what it was. Maybe y'all can put some insight into it. My husband, back in the day, this was like, I want to say 5 years ago, we were dating, and he lived with his parents. He was going to college, and he had his own separate living area and everything else. And I used to stay over sometimes, like overnight. It just depended on our schedules. And he had an aunt that lived with him. And she had COPD and a bunch of health problems. And she was on like hospice, like in home. And they took care of her, his family. And she was really sweet, very nice. Whenever I would stay, I would make pancakes or whatever, and I would always knock on her door and offer them to her. And it's weird how this happened, but I want to say we got into this huge argument. My husband and I, or obviously we were dating, we got into a huge argument, and I went back to my mom's house. And my mom's house I lived in for like 10 years, and we never had any problems. And this is in Monroe, North Carolina, where this whole situation took place. And I went to take a nap, and I remember it was probably, I want to say, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I laid down, and when I was sleeping, I happened to feel like something woke me up, and I know I was awake. I was not sleeping. This was not a dream, because till this day, I've never experienced anything like this. I remember something woke me up, and all I could do was open my eyes, and it was like I was paralyzed. Like, I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. I couldn't react. And I saw this very large, probably at least, I want to say 6'5", black figure and it had a big black coat, like almost like a cloak on, like if you see the Grim Reaper, it's kind of what it looked like. And normally if I saw something like that, I would be screaming for the hills and running. And I just remember I had this weird like calming effect come over me, and it was surprised that I saw it. And I remember that I got this feeling like calmness, but it was still a little terrifying, but it was staring at me, and it didn't have like a face. It was like black, like a mist, and you couldn't see through it though. This thing was like solid. And I remember I got this thought in my head that something was going to happen, but he wasn't there, or it was not there for me. And I know that it went away, and I fell back to sleep. I know typically I would not do that, so that's why I know this has to be something. And I remember when I woke up, I told my mom, I said, "Mom, I saw something in my room." And I never like lost sleep over it, because I knew it wasn't there for me, but I just had it, like this feeling that I just knew that something, I told my mom, I said, "Something's going to happen. I don't know to who, but it's not going to be somebody I'm super close with." My mom was like, "Oh, whatever." You know, so I forgot about it. You know, it was in the back of my mind. About like 3 days later, it was 3 days exactly. Me and my now husband, we made up, obviously. And I remember I slept that night at his house, and his room was right above his aunt. And I remember going to bed, and nothing abnormal, was weird, nothing. And I remember the next morning, I got up early, and I went to go make pancakes. And his aunt, you know, since she was disabled, couldn't really move around. So I used to make breakfast, like her favorite pancakes with a lot of butter, and I would bring it back there. And I remember I was making the pancakes, and I looked through the little window, and there was no lights on. And I thought this was kind of strange, because she had a routine where she would watch a lot of movies and shows, and they had certain times, and she would be up. She wanted to know what was going on in the world. And I remember I just felt like something was off. And I remember I was afraid to go back there, and I'd never felt like that before. And I remember waking up my husband, and I was like, you know, something's not right. I was like, "Your aunt's not up, and I'm just getting a weird feeling." And I remember we went back there, and she was dead. She had overdosed, killed herself. I guess she was struggling with some depression, and she didn't really talk to anybody about it. She had a rosary in her hand, and it was horrible. I could never, I can't even describe it. It's, you never get that out of your head. And I just remember that at that moment, it hit me that 3 days before that, 3 days exactly, I had had that thing, whatever it was, visit me. And like, I got that feeling that something was going to happen to somebody, but not somebody I was close with. And that would be the perfect, I mean, I don't know if that's entirely what it was for, but in my heart, in my gut, I feel that's what it was. And I haven't seen it since then. And this was like 5 years ago, maybe even more. No, it was about 6 or 7 before my daughter. And it was petrifying. And I've had lots of other stuff happen, but I know this one's kind of long, so I apologize. And I'll call back in another time, but hopefully, please, have a great day or night or whenever y'all listen to this. Thanks.
I'm guessing that this is the only visit by death that she's had, as far as it coming and kind of being forewarning mm-hmm. that somebody's about to die. I'm guessing.
Why you say that?
Because it's I don't know. It still sounds kind of like it may have been like a sleep paralysis thing, but mm-hmm. the way that it also kind of carried over into life, I'm thinking that this is more than just a sleep paralysis. This is a death visit, and she didn't say that she's had this happen several times or anything like that, which is a blessing.
Uh-huh. And you always remember the first time you predict someone's death.
Yeah.
It's always a special time.
Right.
And obviously disturbing, nonetheless, and obviously troubling, and it very much sounds like, you know, very, you know, troubling experience for her. It's just, I wonder if this is going to be the first in, and not like more people are going to die because she can sense it, but just, she's young.
The first time she knows.
Yeah, there's a lot more life to live and a lot more people to die around you.
And I guess that's maybe what I was kind of hinting at without wanting to say, hey, sure. You know. this might be a trend.
Yeah, like you may have this ability, be aware.
Mm-hmm.
But that is certainly the case. I mean, we have had a lot of stories where it's just like that, where it's like the first time this happened, I was kind of weirded out. And then it happened again a couple of years later when someone else died that was old, that was around me, you know, and it was like really weird. But then a kid, you know, now I tend to sense this and I know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So just be aware. It's not uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
So. It does tend to happen. So thank you for the story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. When I was we were playing back that story, I was getting a message on Facebook from my friend Heather, who used to do who does radio, used to work with her up in Wisconsin. And she had sent me a link to a bunch of things about Eureka Springs.
Yeah.
And how haunted it is. And it, you know, we were talking about that the other day on the show. That's where I got to see the ghost people wander up the hill and get yelled at.
You got yelled at by me,
Not by the ghost people.
No.
We saw the albino squirrel, too.
We did.
On the creepy path.
Yeah.
I wonder if the albino squirrel had anything to do with the ghost people.
I don't know, but I still swear to God that there was nobody that went up that hill. And it was so unlike you to just, hey, let's just take off on this path that's not marked. It might be on somebody's private property, but mm-hmm. who cares? And you just followed them right up there. What else is the ghost going to get you to do? I mean,
you could have
one lead you right off a cliff. Hey, let's just go this way.
If the ghost goes off the cliff, would you follow?
I'd watch you follow and then I'd stop.
There's some interior pictures of some of the buildings there that we have not gone into that look really neat and creepy as hell.
Yeah.
And I really want to go back.
Any building in particular? I'm not going to go into the Crescent Hotel. Just saying.
There's another one that's downtown. It's the Basin Park Hotel, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That one looks pretty neat. Just the interior. You'd like it. There's a lot of shiplap in there and a lot of really old floorboards.
Oh, cool.
It just looks really... The lighting fixtures, from what I can tell, I think what I'm looking at here in this picture is the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
Which had kind of those neat windows on, very old, almost like stained glass in some of them. And it looks like there's a bit of a parlor up there, if you will, which is, I don't want to say bar, because it looks more like what you'd call a parlor of the era. And it looks neat. It looks like there's a lot of...
We're going to go back down there. Yeah. That's a cool town.
And we called it.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Check out more. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I just started listening to your podcast, and I love it so far. I've always been very into ghosts and the supernatural, and I love watching ghost shows, and I'm glad I found something I could listen to in the car now. So every time I listen to your podcast, I always want to share this story with you guys and your listeners, because I know that you'll believe me, because everyone else that I tell doesn't believe me. But I'll get right into it. I lived in a four-family house, so there was two upstairs apartments and two downstairs apartments. And me, my mom, and my dad lived in one of the downstairs apartments, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer and died when I was very young. So she didn't get to live in that downstairs apartment with us for too long, so I was there with my dad. He was always working. He had worked very late, left very early, so I was in the apartment by myself a lot. After she died, some weird stuff started happening, and I would always say to myself, it's your mom. It's nothing bad, it's just your mom. But I always felt very uneasy. I didn't feel like it was my mom. I didn't feel safe. It gave me that fight or flight sense where I wanted to run, or I wanted I was always on edge. So it started really with me being alone in my room and hearing footsteps walking towards my door when I knew my dad wasn't home, or going into the basement to do laundry and hearing the basement door close upstairs, knowing my dad wasn't home, and never really paying attention to it or wanting to give whatever it was a satisfaction of me being afraid. So one day I'm sitting in my room and I'm playing on my computer and I fall asleep. I wake up, the TV's on, and I can see and my eyes are open, but I can't move. So I'm in a state of sleep paralysis, but I am completely aware of everything that's going on around me. My doorknob shakes and opens, and I'm thinking maybe my cat's coming in the room and I left it open a crack and the cat pushed the door open. But from where I'm laying on my bed, I can't see the door. So I just hear it open and I hear the doorknob shake and I'm thinking it's the cat, and then I feel something jump on my bed. So I'm thinking it's definitely my cat now. Something jumped on my bed. Then all of a sudden I feel a pressure on my chest and I feel like the noise of the TV is getting further and further away, and it was just the craziest experience. And then I look over at the clock and the minute changes from whatever it was to the next minute as everything stops and I'm awake and I'm able to move. And my cat is not in my room. My door is open and I'm lying on my bed by myself, petrified. Another time I was doing dishes and it was the middle of the winter and I felt like someone was standing right behind me, but I didn't want to turn around because I was scared that I was going to see something, and I felt a gust of wind come at my back so fast and so hard that my hair moved, my shirt moved, and I ran into my room and closed my door, and I never looked back behind me. I was just so scared. The freakiest thing I would say that happened was I was getting ready to go to one of the upstairs apartments where my grandfather lived to go and sleep over there because my dad wasn't going to come home that night, and I didn't want to sleep in the apartment by myself. So I'm putting my pajamas on, I'm getting all my stuff that I want to bring upstairs with me, and I start walking down the hallway. And as I'm walking down the hallway, I start walking faster. And I start walking faster because I'm feeling like something is behind me and it's running at me and it's going to grab me. Like I just sensed it. I sensed that I needed to run. And I started to move faster and faster and faster. And I literally jogged out of the house, like a full-blown sprint out of the house, and looked back behind me. And before I ran out of the house, all of the lights in the hallway were on, all the lights in the living room were on, all the lights were turned off all of a sudden, and I looked into the house and I couldn't see anything, but I just reached in, shut the door, and went up to my grandfather's house, but something chased me out of the house. I could feel it behind me, and even though I couldn't see it, I knew it was there. And there were just other weird things that I would feel fine and I would feel alone in my room, and then all of a sudden the entire room would change, the energy and the feeling would change, and I would just talk out loud because it was going on for so many years at this point that I was just so annoyed and done with feeling uneasy in my room and in my house and being there by myself all the time. I just didn't want to deal with it anymore, so I was starting to stand up to it. So when I would feel that uneasy feeling, I would scream into the air, "No, go away. You're not welcomed here. Go away." And I would feel very, very uneasy after, more uneasy than I did before, so I don't think it liked that I was doing that. I had friends would sleep over, and they would tell me that at night they would hear my dad talking in his sleep. And he would sound like he was mumbling in almost a different language. And they were very afraid. They would hear him get up and go over to the refrigerator and mumble in this different language and then go back to his room. I mean, it was just really weird. And I always tried to tell myself at first that it was my mom, but after a while it was pretty obvious it wasn't my mom, because my mom would never try to scare me like that. And I've had instances since that I feel not alone, but I feel safe. And I think I know the difference now of when it is my mom and whatever that was. So I just wanted to share the experiences that I've had with you, and thanks for keeping me company in the car every day and sharing the love of the supernatural with me. Okay, bye.
It sounds like it was escalating.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully it stopped, but that kind of concerns me. It was making the dad talk in his sleep.
Yeah.
In a different language.
That doesn't sound very... Although, what if it's a ghost of a human that spoke a different language?
I don't know. It kind of started as sleep paralysis, and then it got to where it would like chase her out of the house, and then dad's talking in a different language. It just seems like it's not a good thing.
I missed one part of the tense of the story as far as, is this like right up to current day?
I don't think so.
Okay. I was going to say, like, did this continue?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't know. She didn't say if dad still lives there, but
sure.
It sounded like she's no longer there, mm-hmm. and she's had other experiences that didn't feel like that yeah. she thinks were her mom.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that she's been able to differentiate between the two
mm-hmm.
and not think it's all mom, or because obviously, I think that would be very confusing at first. Obviously, when if your first paranormal experience happens shortly after someone you care about dies, your intuition is going to be, oh, it's them.
Sure.
You know, especially if you haven't had that before. But then her caution, you know, it paid off because it turned out probably not mom.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for the experience and the story, and updated us if anything else has happened or happens with the dad there. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
My name is Melissa, and I listen all the time. Some of the stories are really, really spooky, so I'm not sure if I want to sign up to be an EPP either, because I know that those are even more scary, so I'm still in debate about that. Without further ado, I'll tell you my first story. You need some background. We moved from one state to another, and the house that we moved into, it was for sale by owner. The guy who was selling it said to us, oh, you know, everybody who moves in here gets divorced. And I was younger. I was with my mom and dad, and they blew it off because they're big skeptics. And we moved in, and we found out, as we're, you know, you redecorate when you move in, that the living room floor underneath the carpet, the floor was all black. They had painted the wood floor all black. And in the middle of the all black was a red diamond. And inside the diamond was some symbols, black symbols. So, of course, instead of painting over it, we just put new carpet over it. So it was there the whole time, under the carpet, which was kind of creepy anyway. All of the closets were painted black, every closet in the house. We repainted it white, coat after coat after coat, and we finally got the closets reasonably white-looking. The black always bled through, regardless of how many coats. But all of that... reasonable explanation, black, cover it with white, it's going to take a lot. Okay, so the house had a swimming pool in it, and when we first moved in, the swimming pool was, the ground around the swimming pool was sinking, so the pool itself was rising up out of the ground by maybe 2 inches, so nothing to worry about. All the water in it was completely black. So we had to drain it and sandblast and do all kinds of stuff to make it be a pool to swim in again. We did all that. Okay. So as we're living there, we're all in bed, and we hear a lightning strike, which would be fine except it wasn't raining, clear skies, beautiful summer night, no reason to hear a lightning strike. You know what lightning sounds like, and we heard it. So the way the bedrooms are set up, they're all across from each other, so everybody could see into the hallway from their room. And we saw this light. So we're thinking, oh, my God, lightning's striking the house. We all get up. We all stand in the doorway of our bedroom. And in the hallway is a cross, a perfect cross with a ball in the middle where the, you know, the T goes across. There's a ball. And you hear lightning, that, you know, electricity sound, and then it disappeared. We all saw it. Every one of us woke up, stood in our doorway, and saw it. And then, of course, like the smart people we are, we all walked into the hallway. And you could feel the ozone in the air. And you could smell that ozone smell that you smell after a lightning storm in the spring. It was all there. So we don't know what caused it, how it happened. My dad went and checked the fuse box, and the one portion of the panel had completely almost melted. And so was it the electrical? We don't know. Did lightning strike to make that happen? We don't know. That always freaked us out, especially given the background of the house. The only other thing that happened in that house, which wasn't quite as scary as the lightning, is I was sitting in my room and I was doing my makeup like teenagers do, and it was a light, you know, it was daytime out. Had the curtains open, didn't need a light on. Well, in my mirror behind me, you can see my lamp. And as I'm doing my makeup, I see the lamp behind me, and it's glowing orange. And I thought, what? So I turn around, and yep, it's definitely glowing orange. And because it's a lamp, you can look to the left of it and see the outlet. Okay, it's not plugged in, and it's glowing. So I like snuck out of my room, because we all know a ghost can't see you if you sneak, right? And I get my dad, and I'm like, Dad, my lamp's glowing orange. And he comes in, and he looks at it, and he goes, well, you know, it's just some feedback from the electricity, no big deal. And I'm like, Dad, it's not plugged in. And he could see as plain as I could, it wasn't plugged in. And he says, huh, that's weird. And he walks over, and he turns it on. Nothing happens, still glows orange. He turns it off, nothing happens, still glows orange. And then he turned it back on again. And remember, it's not plugged in. How is that happening? And then he turned it off and it went off, and we just both walked away. And no explanation. The only thing I've been able to come up with is there must have been some kind of high electricity in that area to cause, you know, lightning to strike for no reason and a lamp to glow orange for no reason. That's my story. Thank you. And I love your show. Love it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And I don't know that that's a logical explanation.
I don't know. Kind of a little concerned. Anytime lightning shows up inside your house, that's not a good thing.
That's a normal thing to have happen.
And honestly, I think the first thing I would have done is pulled that carpet back, taken those boards out, and replaced them with something else.
And then set fire to the house.
No, I think you remove the symbols. You don't just paint over it to cover it up. But you remove the symbols and try and clean that up. But
lots of demon away needed there.
Yeah.
Like the industrial size jug that you get at Costco. Yeah. Can't just be the little spray bottle.
Mm-mm.
This one needs the big one. For tough demon jobs, you need demon away. Demon away now in 64-ounce big gulp sizes.
Somebody's going to think that's really a product we sell, and it's not. It's a bullshit thing that you made up like episode one. So
it's not real. Not real. Although someone did send me a recipe recently for one, saying, hey, this could be it. This could be demon away. Like, that's the tutti frutti. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Here's another one. Hi.
Hey, my name is Sarah, and I'm from Colorado. I just discovered the show today, and I love it. I'm very into it, and listening to some of these episodes, they really do hit home, because I've had plenty of paranormal experiences myself. When I was 9 years old, we moved into a house in New Mexico, and I didn't know it at the time, but I guess New Mexico is a hot spot, because a lot of ancient Indian burial grounds and stuff like that, so... the house that we moved into, the very night that we moved in there, I woke up out of a dead sleep crying and freaking out like something was wrong, but I didn't know what, and I couldn't calm down. And my parents got me out into the living room, sat me down on the couch, tried to get me to talk to them, and my leg just started shaking uncontrollably, almost like restless leg syndrome. But I couldn't stop it no matter what I tried. I would sit there and hold it down and it would just shake uncontrollably. Nothing really happened that night other than that, but I feel like that should have been a forewarning, because the entire 5 years that I lived in this house, a lot of things happened. I will give you the three instances that stick out the most. At one point, my dad used to fall asleep on the couch a lot watching National Geographic or the Discovery Channel or something. So at one point at night, I wake up to go use the bathroom, and I can hear the TV on, and it sounds like he's watching some segment about Native American tribes and stuff like that. So I'm hearing the Native American music and the singing, and it sounds like there's a powwow on the TV. Well, I walk past the living room to go to the bathroom, and the TV's off. My dad's on the couch sleeping, but the TV's off. And I'm like, okay, maybe just part of my dream was following me in my mind. I can't really explain it, but I go use the bathroom, and I come out, and I momentarily glance back in the living room, and I see a white figure, ghostly Native American figure, in full headdress, full ceremonial dress and everything, and I was taken aback, and I mean, the second I looked back, it was gone. And I asked my dad about it the next morning. I was like, you know, did you fall asleep with the TV on to, like, National Geographic or something? He's like, no, but I did have a really weird dream about being in a Native American ceremony where they were dancing around me and singing. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't tell him what I experienced, but that was enough to freak me out and just say, okay, whatever, I'm going to forget it. The second incident was my brother was doing his science fair project in the backyard, and my parents had bought him one of those disposable cameras to take pictures of it so they could print out the pictures and then put it on the board and he could present it. So he took all the pictures that he needed to take, and he had some leftover film. So he was going around the house taking pictures of just whatever, or pictures of the house. He comes around the corner, and I'm actually in my room at the window looking out, not really doing anything, just looking out the window. And he's like, okay, I'm going to take a picture of you. So he takes a picture of me real quick, and that was it. Well, we get the film developed later, and that specific picture that he had snapped of me, there is a white figure behind me, and you can clearly tell it's a Native American. He looks like a chief because he is proudly posing for this picture with his hand and a fist on his chest. So that was enough to freak us out, and we showed my stepmom the picture, and she's like, oh, ghosts aren't real, and she ripped it up and just threw it away. So she pretty much got rid of my only proof that I ever had. The third and final incident, basically, my dad had bought a Blair Witch Project book, and in this house, my room was the only one that had a bookshelf, so we always kept the family books in my room. He had told me, of course, you're too young to look through that, so just don't even touch it. Well, I didn't listen. One night I was bored, and I was just flipping through the pages, not even really reading it. And I came across a picture that had a drawing, an illustration of the Blair Witch. And it freaked me out enough to say, nope. I closed the book, put it back on the shelf, and went about my business. Well, that night I went to bed. Everything was fine. The next morning I wake up, and that book is on the floor in front of that shelf, open on the same page with the drawing of the witch. Freaked me out, but I'm like, okay, you know, maybe I just didn't put it on the shelf all the way. So I close it, put it back. Well, the next morning I wake up, and there it is again, on the floor, open to that picture of the Blair Witch. Freaked out again, figured, okay, again, maybe I didn't put it on all the way. So this time I carefully put it back on the shelf, went about my business. The next morning, it happened again. So I told my dad about it. He's like, oh, whatever, you're just probably overreacting. So he puts it in his room. The next morning, it happened in his room, on the floor in front of his bed, open to that same page. So he burned the book. We moved out of that house in 2003, so I haven't really had any experiences since then. But yeah, there's a lot more than happened in this house, but I'll call in and tell you guys about it some other time. So thank you for listening, and have a great day.
The Blair Witch is real.
I think it's funny how ghosts will not shy away from using other ghost things or paranormal things to scare, because I'm completely confident it's not the Blair Witch opening up its book, but I think whatever's in the house is probably realizing, ooh, that scared you. I'm going to open this book up. You know, almost like a asshole sibling would do.
It's a lot creepier if you do the Blair Witch book than the Berenstain Bears Visit the Christmas Tree Farm.
Yeah.
That one, not so spooky. Mm-hmm. And you'll probably be like, well, why does this keep opening? And you might not even like get the creepy vibe out of it. It's like, oh, I'm going to read this page today. Mm-hmm. I would. Get some milk. Sit down. Read the book.
Okay.
Just like you would if you were a kid reading the Berenstain Bears. It makes you wonder sometimes. I mean, when they get so direct like that with creepy stuff, how often are we missing ghostly things swinging around us because it's not like just staring us in the face?
Probably pretty often. I mean, it has to be, unless you're kind of looking for it or you suspect mm-hmm. something's around, it has to be pretty blatant for you to...
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
See it.
I wonder. Oh. Thanks for the story and sharing the experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I wanted to share a story with you. I was talking to a friend about energy and ghosts and entities and demons and all that. And she said, hey, do you remember the time... And I said, oh, yeah. So one of those stories, and I had totally forgotten about it. When I was about 16, I was dating a boy that I was head over heels in love with. He was like 19, so I guess nowadays that would probably be illegal. I'm not really sure. But he had a motorcycle, and my dad just adamantly did not ever want me going on the motorcycle. If he wanted to go on a date with me, he had to pick me up in his car. So one day my dad sat me down and he said, if you go out with him, I'm afraid, or if you continue this relationship with him, basically is what he was saying, you are going to end up dead. And I said, okay. And he said, I want you to break things off with him. There's other guys your age that are out there. Just please trust me. So I did. About 3 weeks later, this guy ended up getting killed on his motorcycle. He actually ended up getting decapitated. And I was absolutely devastated. He was speeding, or I don't really remember what exactly happened, but it was just so eerie that my dad knew that. So my friend and I, we decided about a month and a half after his funeral to go to the cemetery where he was buried and go visit his grave. And we did that, and for some bizarre reason, I decided to take, the dirt was still like over his grave, there wasn't grass grown there yet. But I had decided for some crazy reason to take some dirt off of his grave. And I literally took a handful of dirt and threw it into my purse. And I forgot I had it in there. So when I came home, I don't know, it was about 3 days later, I would come home and I would put my purse. I had like a closet that was directly across from my bed, and it was kind of a narrow, long closet. I'm not sure why it was so small, but it was the way our house was designed, I guess. So I would always hang like my backpack and my purse and my jacket from the hooks that were on the out, I had some on the outside of the door and then some that were like on the inside of the closet. And I would always hang my purse on the inside of my closet because my sister loved to go through my stuff. So anyway, one night, about 3 nights later, I was laying in bed and I remember shutting the closet closed and the door just creaked open. It just, creaked about. It was just, you could just hear it creaking open. And I opened my eyes to see if my sister was going to take something out of my closet, but no one was there. But I saw the closet door opening and I thought it was odd because she's never done that to me. If she was going to borrow clothes, she would always ask. She wouldn't sneak in at midnight or 1 o'clock because she was 2 years younger than me and wouldn't be up that late. So I just thought that was kind of odd and went back to sleep. That coming weekend, I had my same girlfriend sleep over, the one who, we decided to go to go to the grave with, and she was sleeping over, and it happened when she was over, and she was spending the night, and she was sleeping. I had my bed, and then like kind of off to the corner, my bedroom kind of, I had one of those bay windows in my bedroom that kind of jutted out, and there was like a, I don't know, futon. I don't know what it was called, but you could sleep there. And that's where she would sleep when she slept over. So she was over, and she said that it opened and she heard movement in the closet. And she woke me up, turned the light on right away and told me. And she said, "What was that? Do you guys have mice there?" And I'm like, "I don't know." So I opened the door, and my purse was on the floor. It wasn't even hanging on the hook anymore. And she said, "Oh my God, do you still have that dirt in your purse?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess." And she's like, "We need to get rid of the purse." So I asked my parents, actually. I was so scared by this happening. I woke my parents up. And my dad was a pretty religious guy, and he took my friend and I, drove us. He wouldn't even throw, he said, "We have to get rid of the purse altogether," and took out like our school IDs and my, you know, money and stuff like that. He said, "We just need to get rid of this whole damn purse." He drove us to a dumpster behind a Burger King and tossed the purse into the trash. And it never happened again. But the same, I'm still friends with her. We were talking about it the other day. She's like, "Yeah, do you remember that hold?" And I'm like, "Yes." So I thought I would share that with you guys. I really love your show. I've been at EPP. I enjoy all the stories. It's just helps me pass the time, and I love you guys so much. Thanks. Bye.
Incidentally, the next call I got was from someone who found a purse in a dumpster at a Burger King, and they suddenly had this guy following them around.
I think that's one of the funniest parts of doing the show is how people choose to get rid of items mm-hmm. that they suspect are the reason for their haunting.
It makes you think twice about when you see something in an odd place, and you're like, "Well, why is this here?"
Mm-hmm.
That would be why. That is there.
Especially if it seems like it's perfectly good.
Yeah. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had a situation where you had, I mean, not that you go dumpster diving, but I'm just saying,
dumpster dive,
you know, no. you know, you go and you're going to throw something out in a public location and you're like, "What the heck is that?" Yeah. I can't personally say I have, but my dad did. Because he's out traveling around. He sells insurance. And so he's, you know, fast food, gas stations, all that. And so he's oftentimes going to the dumpster to throw cups and stuff out mm-hmm. of his truck. And when I was a kid, I don't know, I was probably like 7 or 8. He goes to throw something away in a dumpster somewhere. And there's this leather duffel bag just sitting in the dumpster.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, "What the heck?" You know, he opens it up. And it is all leather, like biker gear, like complete outfit, leather pants, vest, jacket.
Uh-huh.
Not cheap. I mean, it wasn't pleather. It wasn't some sort of, you know, it was like
the whole getup.
The whole getup. I mean, a retail, I don't know, probably, I don't know. I don't know what they
Several hundred dollars.
At least. Yeah. Yeah. So, because there's even a picture of me because he brought it home, and let's put Tony in it. It'd be real cute. So and it didn't like smell of fish or anything.
Uh-huh.
So it must be okay.
And that's funny that fish would be the worst smell you
exactly.
Think of.
Okay, it wasn't blood or anything on
uh-huh.
it. So there's a picture of me wearing this biker gear, and. I was like about 6, I think, and I'm riding the little push car that Harper likes to play with,
mm-hmm.
the little Fisher-Price one, and I'm all dressed up in that. But it was just bizarre. I think they ended up selling it like in the it was way before internet and Craigslist, so it would have been through the
like Penny Saver or something.
The classifieds.
Okay,
that's a word I'm looking for. The classifieds, and I don't know if I got a couple hundred bucks for it or something, but
I don't know that I've ever come across something that was just there and looked kind of oddly out mm-hmm. of place, and it's like, why is this here? It looks, you know, too good to be thrown away.
Very bizarre,
mm-hmm.
you know. That one was, at least. I mean, I found like money in places. Mm-hmm. I found $20 bill in a double mint wrapper. when I was a kid going to the park. I used that $20 to buy my Titanic book.
Oh.
All about the Titanic. Mm-hmm. And then 20 some years later, I got Robert Ballard to sign it.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. But things that are out of place that shouldn't be there that were purposely discarded. That's.
I'm always leery of that.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. I should post that on Facebook to see what odd things people have found in a setting like that. And we'll do that the next week or so. There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks for listening. Greatly appreciate that. If you like our program, please sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person. You do it right there at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, exclusive content, and you keep us on the air by doing that. So please check that out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.